If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we ask an interest in your prayers. As we look at a thought concerning the purpose of God. Purpose is a word that we all know about. We all have a purpose from time to time. We purpose to do this, or we purpose to do that. We know of others that have purposed to do something and never did. Maybe you're one of those, if you're like me. There are things I have purposed to do and never did them at all, or else did not complete the job. Please understand, that's us and not God. God's purpose has always been done and will always be fulfilled. We may not understand many times the purpose of God, but it doesn't change, nor will it ever fail. Keep that thought in mind as we go along this morning. I'd like to share with you just a couple of things in the beginning concerning things that have been purposed in the Word of God. Some of them were by men, and the bulk of what we want to talk about are those things which God Himself purposed, and we can see them taking place in time. First, I'd like to go and just think about a situation where there was a man by the name of David, which you're all familiar with, hopefully, in the Word of God. David, at this point in time, was a young man. He was a man that the Bible spoke of him in years to come as a man after God's own heart. We find with David that he had some of the same situations with his brothers as a man by the name of Joseph did. You see, they could see in David something special, I believe, at an early age, as they did with Joseph. I say that because while he didn't have the number of brothers that Joseph did, Joseph had 11 brothers. David had, according to the Word of God, 7 brothers. And David was the youngest of those 7. What we find over in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 17 is a rendering of David when he is out tending the flock of sheep which his father Jesse had. Now, he wasn't at war, but they were. The nation themselves of Israel was at war against the Philistines. This wasn't anything new. They warred against the Philistines on a number of occasions, but this is one of those times when the Philistines have reared themselves up and they come to do battle against Israel. His brothers have gone to war, but David is left at home tending the sheep. Much familiar as the story of Joseph, if you recall, when his brothers had gone, or at least the 10 older brothers had gone off, and then he went to find out some more information and see how they were doing. Jesse, the father of David, sends an information person bearing a word from Jesse, and he sends him out to where David is tending the flock. And he tells them to come in, and as he does, Jesse tells his son David to take, if I remember right, there was 10 cheeses. Now, I don't know about the cheese myself as to in what form that it was or how much it was, but he is to take those 10 cheeses and go unto his brethren who were at war and inquire and see about how they were doing, how the war was going, but to take that cheese to them. Now David, remember, he's the youngest, and he's a young and a fair and ruddy type of individual. He's one that is very capable of handling things, because we already know by this time in his life, God had delivered David, we know, on two specific occasions already. He had delivered him from the hand of a lion, and also he had delivered him from the hands of a bear. We know that because of something that David himself will pass on and tell to Saul, the king, a little bit later. David comes and he goes and he sets foot and goes to where they're in battle. And when he gets there, he finds his brothers and he begins to tell him or to tell them or inquire about what's going on. Now, when they do, one of the brothers looks and comes, I believe, if I remember right, it's the oldest brother. And he came and he spoke unto David and inquired something about, what are you doing here? Now, that's my words. He said, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be back over there tending the sheep? Does that sound awful familiar as to the brothers of Joseph? Whenever they look and they begin to inquire amongst themselves when they saw Joseph coming afar off. And they said, oh, the dreamer cometh, you know. They began to have their thoughts about him, and they weren't good. I think we can see some of these same fleshly feelings coming forth from the brothers of David as he came unto them to inquire on how they were doing. Now, David made this remark. After this brother had said what he did to him about, aren't you supposed to be over there? Who is it that's tending the flock while you're over here messing around? You're not supposed to be here. You're not capable of being here. They looked down upon him. Now, when they did, he made this statement to him. David responded. And he says, is there not a cause? Listen to the remarks of David. Is there not a cause? I want you to keep that thought in mind as we approach the subject of the purpose of God. For you see, every purpose that man does may or may not work out. But every purpose which God purposes, it will take place because, I'll put it that way, because it's God that's involved. Therefore, there is no opportunity, any chance of failure. There is a cause of why His purpose is fulfilled. Why? Because He is capable of making sure that it is fulfilled. Now, keeping that thought in mind, remember about David saying, is there not a cause? I'm not going to go through with the rest of the story about David, just simply to remind you that here was this great Philistine by the name of Goliath, this great giant that stood 9 feet tall or so, and he could carry a huge beam upon his shoulders, and it wasn't a problem whatsoever. And I can imagine that the sword that he had was a huge sword, much bigger because of the size of himself than anyone else's sword to fight with. That's important because after David had slew him with one of these 5 smooth stones that he used, remember it found its mark, it hit him right in the purpose of the spot where it was intended to go, that place where it would drop him just like that. And when it had done so, we know that David stood upon him and pulled, not having a sword himself. The only thing he had was a sling. I've made this remark here before. I couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with one of those type of slings. It wasn't a slingshot like we've used and I've used as a child, but it was a kind that was long, it had leather in the middle, and you take it, put it together with the stone in the middle, twirl it around, and you gotta let one end go. You gotta be kidding. That I would hit myself back in the head. Now, I've never tried one of them, but it's one of those things where the Lord has given me enough common sense, I'm not going to try it. But it found its mark. Why? Because God's purpose was with David. And with God's purposes with him, he wasn't going to fail with the purpose of God intended. Now, do not leave here thinking that I am in any sense what is termed an absoluter, which means that everything is absolute and God has purposed everything that happens to happen. That is absolutely, now use that word, not true. You go stump your toe, there's a cause, all right. You probably were not paying attention to where you were going. You get up during the night and you stumble and fall. Usually it's because there wasn't enough light, or you're too sleepy, or some other reason why you fell. There's a cause to that. God did not purpose that fall. Now, keeping that thought in mind, here we have David and him making the statement, is there not a cause, which is the result of God's purpose in providing protection for his blessed people, the Israelites. And he took care of them one more time. He delivered them over and over and over again. Even in the face of their disobedience, God delivered them because he loved them with an everlasting love. Now, let us take a look at another portion of Scripture. We're going to go all the way back over to the book of Ruth and look in the second chapter, and you're going to find another situation, but this one has to do with using the word purpose. Here's a man by the name of Boaz, but the story is about, it's a love story between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. It's a beautiful love story. I've used it many times over the years, and I'm sure you have too, because it's such a beautiful rendering of how the love of God can be expressed between individuals while we live in this life. Remember that Ruth and her husband, along with another woman's husband, they were both the sons of Naomi. They had died along with the husband of Naomi. So now you have three widow women. And Naomi, she has that desire to return unto her homeland. Go back to where her kinsmen were. And we know that one of those decided to stay where they were. Naomi had urged Ruth and the other one to stay there. The other one stayed. But you know how the story goes. If you saw read Ruth at all, you know that Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave me. Let me go with thee." Because she made this statement, "Let thy God be my God." What a beautiful rendering of the love of God in the heart of Ruth. "Let thy God be my God." You think the Lord had dealt with Ruth? I believe he had. I believe he had put something special within the heart of Ruth. And she was able to recognize that the God of Israel was the one true and the living God. Now, whenever Ruth and Naomi get over to their homeland, you know that the story ends with the situation that Ruth is going to have to be bought and paid for, so to speak, because here she is, she's without a husband, but she's in a land that's not of her nativity. This is not her homeland. It's Naomi's, but not hers. And now she's going to have to be taken by someone that has the right to do so. Now, when we read the second chapter of the book of Ruth in verse 16, we find Ruth going forth, and she goes out to the field, and where they're being where they're gathering in the barley. And they're getting the grain out of the fields. And there's a lot of handmaidens out there that are gathering the grain from the field. And Ruth goes out and she just happens to wind up in the field of Boaz. No. Remember, we're talking about purpose. I believe that the purpose of God guided Ruth. Think for a moment. God can guide us and does guide us in our walk while we're living in this vain world. I'm thankful that God helps us and guides us from time to time. Many times He guides us in a way that gets us out of trouble or keeps us out of trouble, and sometimes we don't even know that it was. Now here's the situation. Ruth goes and she begins to, she sees some other handmaidens there, and she goes and she begins to gather, getting down on their hands and knees and gathering up this grain from the field that is left. Now she is, Boaz sees her. Now all these other women are his handmaidens. They belong to him. And he looks out as his servants. And he sees Ruth. And I think when he sees her, I think in the sense where he realized it so much right at that moment, I think God was already working in the heart of Boaz that there was something special about Ruth that was going to show up and we could witness in just a few moments. And he began to inquire, who is this handmaiden that is there gleaning in my field? And as he began to ask it, they began to tell him who she was, that she'd come in with a near kinsman, Naomi, and that she had what her past history was all about. Now I want you to see the purpose of God in this. How God took care not only of Ruth, but he took care of Naomi. And took care of himself as well. Why? Because he's going to be taking in a little while, he'll take Ruth as a wife. Now, this particular verse in chapter 2, verse 16 of Ruth said this about it. When he finds out who she is, he tells them, I believe by the very guidance of the Spirit of God, because it was God's purpose, he says, to drop a little purpose along the way. Just leave a little purpose. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. What does that mean, drop a little purpose? That means make sure that you put a little extra. Whenever, as you're gathering it up, don't be so particky about how much you're gathering up. On purpose, drop a little extra. That's what it means. Just drop a little extra so that Ruth can have extra to gather it up. Drop a little purpose along the way. Now, when they did, Ruth is well taken care of. And she's able to take it back. And she tells Naomi. And Naomi inquired, whose field were you in? Boaz. Naomi said, he's our near kinsman. You see, there are good times when purpose is done, when God's people, like Boaz, do something on purpose and leave purpose, and it's a good thing. So I just want you to know that there are times when it's a good thing. Now, we want to think about another situation found over in the book of 1 Kings. This is a situation that deals with not David, but with Solomon, the son of David. And we find in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5, notice what it says. Behold, I purpose. Now remember, we said that God's purpose, always good and always fulfilled. Man's purpose is not always fulfilled. Now let me give you an example. David purposed to build a temple unto God, didn't he? Was he allowed to build a temple? Did he get it done? No, he didn't. But if you'll remember, God blessed Solomon to fulfill that desire. And he said, behold, I purpose to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. Now this was the purpose that Solomon had. As the Lord spake unto David my father, see, it's coming back around, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. You see, when purpose on our part is the same as the purpose of God, it's a good thing. Now, don't miss that point. I may not have a decent point the rest of the day, but don't miss that one. When your purpose, anything you purpose to do, if it goes along with the purpose of God, it is always a good thing. You'll have a good result. We know the result that Solomon was allowed to build the temple of God. It was a good thing. What about bad results? Have there ever been any purposes that people failed at. And you go to the book of Job, chapter 17, you can find that Job had a situation that he made and that he said, and he says, "My days are past," and he goes on further and says, "My purposes are broken off." You know what he's saying? My purposes have failed. He was distraught. He was cast down because Job understood there for just a moment that purposes that he himself had didn't get the job done. They weren't fulfilled. And he himself was cast down because of it. Every one of us in this room of any age have had something we have purposed. I'm talking about something good. But yet, it didn't come to play, and we have to understand that sometimes what we purpose may not be what was the best for us. We have to say, "Lord, Thy will be done, not mine, Thy will be done. Help me that I make the right decision, that I make the right choices in life, and that my purpose is equal to Thy purpose." Well, how do we know when something's good? You know, Solomon learned this, and he expressed it, especially in the Proverbs. And he told us this, and putting it in my own words, he said that the purposes that are purposed with counsel, they're good. But if it doesn't have counsel, they're not good. So we have to keep that in mind. Solomon expressed that to us, that any purpose that is going to be worth having and fulfilling has to have the proper counsel. Where do you get your counsel from? Where does the counsel come from if we're going to have a good purpose in our life? Comes from the Word of God. The best counsel I know is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the teaching of the gospel that He preached. That's our counsel. That we can look into the Word of God and learn of Him. "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me," He said. And in so doing, we learn His counsel, which is He is the mighty counselor of the Almighty God. Now, there are others that we want to mention if we can get them to come to mind. We pray that the Lord will bless us. Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 1 and you'll find that Daniel was being led to do something that was not according to the purpose or the will of God. And in so doing, it was disturbing to Daniel. But what Daniel purposed was a good purpose. It wasn't the king's purpose. It was Daniel's purpose because it was God's purpose. And when our purpose equals God's purpose, remember, it's a good thing. And Daniel said this statement in chapter 1 of Daniel. He says, "I purpose within my heart not to do what? Eat of the king's meat." Why? Because it was defiled. And he was purposing within himself, "I'll not eat of that defilement that belonged to the king." Now, that's what we need to do when we think about the things of the world that will defile us. If we're not careful, we will partake of those things because it's that pleasure of sin for a moment. And we think, okay, it's going to be good for us, and we go partake of it, and we find out it's not because it wasn't the purpose of God. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. And that was a good thing that he was purposing. Now, if you want to go over to the book of Isaiah, you're going to find him saying that the Lord of hosts has purpose. The Lord of hosts, see, there is the good purpose when the Lord of hosts does purpose. Who, he said, "Who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" Is there anybody able to turn back the purpose of God? No. Why? Because God is able to see and make known and fulfill everything that He purposes. And He does so. That we're thankful about. Now, let's go a little bit further. Turned over to the book of Romans. Let's go to chapter 9 of the book of Romans, if you'd like to turn to. Here you find the Apostle Paul expressing and going back and reminding us about a situation that had happened many, many years before. He says, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, talking about Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil. Listen carefully, because if you lose sight of the fact that it's in the mind and the purpose of God, then you have a problem with this verse. A lot of people do, because they forget it's in the mind and the purpose of God, and His purpose is always just and right.
Amen.
He says, children being not yet born. Y'all know what that means? They haven't been born yet. I studied long and hard to figure that one out. Neither having done any good or evil. So that means simply, they haven't done nothing bad yet. They're still in an innocent condition. That the, what's the next word?
Purpose.
That the purpose, and remember, the purpose of God never fails. That the purpose of God, now, is there not a cause? Remember what we mentioned earlier, that David had made the remark, is there not a cause? See, there was a cause for him to be there. Why? Because God purposed it. And the result and the benefit was a good one because God purposed it. Now, keeping that in mind, that the purpose of God, according to election, which tells us there is an election. And the election was by God. If you want to know when it was called choice in the book of Ephesians. Go and read it and you'll find that that word choice means purpose and purpose of choosing. And in so doing, God chose His people before the foundation of the world. It doesn't get any plainer than that. He didn't choose them after the foundation. He didn't choose you after you were good or after you decided, I want to be a child of God. And God says, oh, okay, He wants to love me, so therefore I will choose Him. If that be the case, you're going to have to take that other scripture and tear it out of the Bible. That's not the case. According to election, now the reason why he says according to election, because we've got to be on sound footing. Anything that is worth having, it has to be a firm foundation put down somewhere. You build a building, it better have a good solid foundation. Here's the foundation. According to election, might stand. What is it standing on? It's standing on the fact that election is the choice of God of His people. And it's standing on that, and it is a just judgment.
Amen.
Now, some people will say, well, this other little part is just thrown in. But it contradicts what's being taught so much in the world today. Not of works, by the way. Any activity is work. I don't care what you do. Any activity is work. If you make a choice, it is work. Right now, I'm going to make a choice to go over and take a sip of water. And I promise you, it will take effort. And effort is what? It's work. I hate to be so dogmatic about that, but to me, it's plain. And it's simple if we just simply listen to what the Word of God said. I go over, of course. Now, if I said that and purposed it and didn't do it, that just show you the fallibility of man, or fallibility, whatever the word is. So, I guess I need to follow up with it. Now, I purposed that, and God allowed me, gave me the strength to go ahead and finish out my purpose. Now, but please understand, God did not purpose that I go take a drink of water. He says, according to election, my stand, Not of works, otherwise not of anything on your part or effort that you have done, but of Him that calleth. Who does the calling? Does man do the calling or does God do the calling? God calls those that He chose before the foundation of the world, and not a one of them will not be called. Can I put it that way? From the youngest to the oldest. You say, well, how young? I don't know how young, but God does. Whether it is one milli moment of a moment after conception, which it could be, until the last breath is almost taken by an individual before they leave this world. In any case, if God purposed, if God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for that individual, Jesus says He's not going to lose anybody that God gave Him to die for. Those that He gave Him, by the way, are exactly the same ones, no more, no less, that He purposed in the beginning in His love for them. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Run that one out, you'll find that hated does not mean love less. It means exactly what it says here. He hated Esau. He never loved him with the same type of love or with the love that he had for Jacob. Never did. What shall we say then? See, here's the thing. The world says, if we believe like you have, like hopefully, like I've just tried to lay the foundation and preach, if we believe that way, God would be an unjust God. Because there would be somebody out there that would want to love God, and they weren't chosen, and they'd be left out. Let me remind you, going back again, 7th verse, chapter 8, of Romans. And he tells us what about that? The carnal mind, the carnal nature of man, is enmity against God. It's not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. Therefore, the fleshly man, in the flesh, without the Spirit of God, cannot do any action of their own unless God first does something for them. It's called being born again of the Spirit. It's what he told Nicodemus, by the way, and reminded him about that. What shall we say then? Here's the question answered. Is there unrighteousness with God? If God chose a people, and he chose those people for a purpose, what was their purpose, by the way? Why would God choose you? Was it because you're good? Because you're a perfect being? And God looked down through the annals of time and said, oh, Brother Randall's going to be a good person. I'm going to choose him because he's going to be good. And he's going to love me. I'll choose him. No. He chose him because he purposed to choose him. He purposed to love him. And he did that. And it was a perfect choosing made by God. You got to remember, there is no one worthy of eternal life. Nobody. What the wonderment of it all is that God chose any of us. Right. Because none of us were worthy. None are righteous. No, not one. Our worthiness is in Christ. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And most of the time we go down through verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right around in there. But if you drop down a little bit, just a few verses on down, drop down to about verse 9, notice what he says. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which what? He hath purposed in himself. Are you getting the idea now that God has a purpose? And that his purpose will be accomplished and has been accomplished and will be till the last day of promise is called home. His purpose is true. Last one. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed, come back God, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, the faith you have is not something you conjured up of your own. That would be works. The faith you have is a gift of God. The Bible says that's what faith is. It's a gift of God. Now take that faith which God has given and exercise it. That means use it to the will and purpose of God so that your purpose matches God's purpose. Now when we can do that, what did I say it was? The end result is a good thing, isn't it? When our purpose is the same as the purpose or will of God. May God bless you is our prayer. Brother Raph, do you have anything to share with us?